Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Hanning, and he's going to talk to us today about Novo Resources. That's a company that, of course, has been featured on the show many times in the past. 2017, it was the hottest stock on the planet, at least among the gold sector, anyway, when they found some very large nuggets in the Comet Well and Pretty's reward portion that's in the northwestern part of this massive land package that Novo Gold has in Western Australia. And the market has cooled off a bit since then, quite a bit actually. But the work has continued on, and in my view, probably more important than ever, this is a stock that you need to watch very carefully. So I'm really glad to have Quentin back with us today. Thanks for joining me, Quentin.
Sure thing, Jay. Always a pleasure.
It's always good to have you with us. First of all, I understand you're not traveling. You're in your home in Colorado most of the time now. Who is traveling these days, I guess? But how are things going for Novo down there in Australia now? Are you back? Your people down there on the ground doing some work, I think, right?
They are. We resume work at Egina, so things are exploration is on in full earnest in the Egina area, and we anticipate a very busy season this year. Australia has done a great job kind of containing things, Western Australia in particular. They're not seeing any increase in cases in COVID at the moment, and they intend to keep it that way. So I think Australia's got things well under control.
Well, that's good news. And with regard to Egina, of course, I mentioned Comet Well and Purdy's Reward a little bit to the west, and then, of course, Beaton's Creek was what you worked on first. Quite a ways to the east. It's just a massive land package that Novo has over there. But as I understand it, just to set the record straight for people who may not be familiar with this story, the Egina project that you're working on now, that you're focused on, is a gold hosted that's eroded from the conglomerate belt, the conglomerate rocks over at Egina and Purdy's Reward. Do I have that right?
That is correct, yes. The gold in the modern gravel, the slag gravel that we find over the terrace surface, is derived in large from the conglomerates that are immediately to the south, and really that would have been overhead. I mean, they've eroded away, so they melted mm-hmm. away, and that gold's been liberated and is now reworked into these gravels.
And so the idea is that Mother Nature has done a lot of the milling for you, and
yes.
That is probably the easier gold to get to and to recover than from the source to the west, that is the conglomerate belts, right?
Yes, that is absolutely true. Look, it's not that we don't recognize there is very good potential in those conglomerates. In fact, we're working on accessing those. They are within the Yandeyarra Reserve, like a lot of the ground that we're talking about here. So we have to do things measured. You know, we can't just go pell-mell out and tread over ground that we're not cleared to. But we are working towards that agreement, and that those conglomerates are also a viable target for us. But in the meantime, you know, the loose gravels, like you said, this pre-milled, we'll call it, you know, naturally pre-milled gold mineralization in the gravels is our main thrust here.
Right. Well, this morning you put out a press release, and it was titled, Novo Discovers Broad Gold-Bearing Swale at Egina Mining Lease and Discusses Terrace Concept. That was the headline. And swale is a term that's not that familiar to most of us that have been following mining companies for a while. So not being sure what the word meant, I looked it up, and it says a shallow channel with gently sloping sides. Is that the picture?
Right. That's exactly right. So if you look at these features, you know, the gravel fills them, okay? So it's actually kind of hard, you know, for you to cast your eye out over the surface and identify a swale. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is ground-penetrating radar, and you can actually see the basement contact using that radar. So now you know that there's a gentle dip or a gentle valley underneath your feet, okay? So that's how we're targeting our exploration in the region. We're looking for these swales. One way to think of it is like, branches on a tree or something like this. So, you know, there's a vast network of these things up in the you know, hinterland or the headwater of the system. The swales are generally smaller. They're probably on the order of a few tens of meters across. And as you go out further on the terrace, these things appear to be expanding and becoming, you know, several hundred meters wide as you go out. But they're kind of a network of stream channels, or I shouldn't say stream. I should just say channels, channel-like, that coalesce and kind of come back together. You know, we've in and out with one another.
Mm-hmm. Can you give our listeners some sense of the scale of these swales and the area? I think I saw in your press release something. The area that you're looking at now is something like 10 kilometers by 7 kilometers or something like that?
It's actually bigger than that. It's about 17 kilometers north-south. What we talked about this morning's release is about 17 kilometers north-south, about 10 kilometers east-west. So, you know, it's about 170 square kilometers. And this is really just a small subset of our overall land package across the Edgen area. This area is where we're focused at this time. We will do exploration outside of it. We'll grow the system even more over the coming months. But right now, what we're starting to do is see a picture of what's emerging right here in the immediate Edgena area. And it's really intriguing. Last year, we did a lot of work on what we call the test swale, which was about a 50-meter wide swale that was up, you know, in the hill country or just next to the hills in the southern part of this target area. And it was successful. You know, we found a very good grade, you know, say 1.7 gram gold per cubic meter within the swale itself. The grades diminish as you go into the shoulders, maybe 0.6 gram per cubic meter. And then the flat area out around the swale still had, you know, what is actually an alluvial were quite good grades, you know, 0.3 gram per cubic meter. All right, so that was our test area. But what we're finding is now as we sample, we take these bulk samples, what we call MAC samples. They're indicative samples from areas further out onto the terrace. We're finding these swales are opening up dramatically. You know, they're not 50 meters wide. They're like 10 or 15 or 20 times that width. So this is very encouraging. It's just like I said earlier, you know, as the system goes out on the terrace, the channels open up and they become broader. And so now you're talking about, you know, some very serious square kilometers that we have to work. I think at the end of the day, we'll see a very, very large gold system here. People say, well, you know, what's going to be economic out of this? Well, look, it's intriguing because we're not really seeing any, you know, quote unquote dead areas at this time. We get gold in virtually every single MAC sample we take, you know, so alluvial deposits, yeah, they average about 0.2, 0.3 grams. That's our low grade. I mean, that's our lowest grade. Okay, so this is encouraging. You know, it might mean that, you know, the greater terrace, you know, is a, you know, potentially economic over large, very large areas. So we're upbeat. We're extremely excited. We're starting to piece the geology together. We can connect this new discovery that we made at Edge in a mining lease now, which is towards the south, with what we're seeing further north. You know, we're talking about features that are going to go on for kilometers and kilometers. It's not a little system. This is a huge system.
Well, it's a huge system, but that means that the end of the day seems to be further away. When you say the end of the day, Quentin, how long are we going to have to wait before we can start to get a sense of the economics of this? And I know that you've done, as you just mentioned, you did some assaying of some other of these areas at Edgena, and the grades are, as you say, really quite good for this kind of an operation. But when might we start to get some sense? When can investors start to say, aha, we've got all of these areas now, and this is kind of what we can expect in terms of grades and cost, etc.?
Sure. There's two parts to that answer. I mean, grade is definitely one, okay? You want to know how much dollar value there is in a cubic meter of dirt. And yes, we use cubic meters here. A lot of people ask me, why not use grams per ton? Look, the density of the gravels varies considerably from place to place. In one place, it might be sandy. In one place, it might be rocky. There might be ironclast in it. You know, there's a lot of different variables, so it's easier to just do it in grams per cubic meter. It's also a function of how you're going to mine it. You're going to mine this stuff at, you know, on a dollars per cubic meter basis. It's sitting right at the surface. Okay, it's not like you have to dig a big hole in the ground and move tons around. So the costing is going to be based on your ability to move gravel. Period. Okay. So here's the thing. The grades, they look robust right now. We don't lose a lot of sleep there. Okay, we feel very confident that the grades we're seeing are going to be economic. In fact, maybe, you know, quite, you know, potentially high, you know, very high margin if we do things right. Okay, so now the second part of this is how much does it cost to dig and process that material? Okay, we have mechanical sorting work that we've done recently. it looks like it works like a charm. We get very good recovery with the mechanical sorter. And this year we have plans to put one in the field, maybe even two machines in the field, to test the viability and economics of that technology. Okay, that's fantastic. We anticipate it should be very low cost. All that test work we did, we presented to the market a few weeks ago, or actually a couple months ago, I guess. You know, that mechanical sorting is very low-cost processing, okay? So, yes, you got to screen it and sort it and stuff, but once you put it through a machine, it's cheap processing. Okay, the second part of this is the continuous miner. A lot of people say, well, are you going to go mining? Look, we hope this year we could do continuous mining. With coronavirus or this whole situation, it's a little more complicated. But the technology is tried and true. Like, we don't have to worry too much about the continuous mining because we already know it will work, okay? It's more about mechanical sorting. We want to make sure that that will work as a viable processing solution. So here's where we're headed. By the end of this year, look, we've even hired a gentleman here recently who's his name is Chris Martin. He's joined Rob Humphreyson in Perth. Chris Martin has expertise in mining of this style. Okay, he's also expertise in using mechanical sorters. I would say that Chris's work, you know, as he joins the team and gets up to speed here, he will be able to allow us to start talking about the costs around mining, you know, potential costs of mining and processing of this material by late this year. You know, we're moving on all fronts. This isn't just an exploration story. This is also about actually trying to figure out and move forward the whole story towards a production story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. I mean, I kind of look at you, you know, in comparing you with a more traditional mine exploration development project, you're kind of at that point where you're engineering and costing and that sort of thing. And it's a time when a lot of investors aren't as excited as they are during the initial discovery. But what I think a lot of people are missing is the tremendous potential economics here, the sorting that you've talked about. And I guess what you're going to be doing now is moving that sorting technology into the field. Before it was in the laboratory, but now you're going to be scaling it up, I guess, into the field to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, we'll be putting machines in the field, you know, machines that we can put material through, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, Quinton, you also have, of course, other projects, and you mentioned Purdue's Reward and Comet Well. You'll be going back there at some point in time, but it looks like you have your hands full with Egina right now. But I know you're also, you know, you haven't forgotten Beaton's Creek. What is it? Quite a ways over to the east there. And what are you doing with that now?
Let's talk about that. We have completed our in-house option study. We know a couple of very good viable paths for the project at this point. And in fact, the reason we've made some hires lately, you know, including Chris, is to be able to move the project forward. I think that within the next few months, we will have a clear development strategy for Beaton's Creek. It's that simple. Okay, we're not mucking around. We've taken Beaton's Creek all the way through mine permitting. We've got the native title agreements. Every single box has been ticked around that project. We are planning to move that forward towards production, period. And that really is an important part of this story, because things like Karratha, which is very similar to Beaton's Creek in many respects, are things that we can build on. We can dovetail in with Beaton's Creek production. For example, we can mechanically sort material over a Karratha, upgrade it, and then ship it to a central processing facility. So, look, I've talked about this numerous times at, you know, in numerous different interviews and shows and whatnot. And this, the absolute model that we're pursuing has not wavered. It's not changed. We are going to put these deposits in production. Egina will probably be a standalone. Obviously, you're not going to truck gravels all over the place, okay? We want to do continuous mining at Egina, so it'll be a standalone operation. But for the hard rock, we're looking at a scenario where we basically treat things through a central processing facility. And we really build, you know, Novo into a production story, a significant gold producer.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's really exciting, and we'll look to keep up with the story on an ongoing basis. That's for sure. Thank you so much, Quinton, for being with us again, and all the best.
Thank you very much, Jay.